studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
That familiar tone means that it's a Cliff and Robin show with me, Robin. Me, Robin. You, Cliff.
Okay.
Ugh. Anyways, we have a lot to talk about. That number, by the way, that you can call and talk to Cliff and Robin. He always gets top billing. You know, it's the experience before beauty. 646-721-9887 if you'd like to speak to us doing this program, which is makes it a lot easier to speak to us during this program than after the program. 646-721-9887. Emails go to talk@caribbeanradio.com. And the chat room is open right now for business at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. And we got a lot to talk about today.
We've got a lot to talk about, but we'll talk about anything you want. We'll interrupt you anytime you want to talk about anything you want if you'll just simply call.
That's right. That is one of the requirements.
646-721-9887.
And guess what?
What?
We actually have a What the Heck Are They Thinking segment that we haven't done for a while coming up.
We do, huh?
We do.
Okay.
What is it? What the Heck Are They Thinking Award is one of the dumbest stories that we found, and we have one to share with you.
Yes.
And also on the docket today, in Oregon and several other states, we just got through with our primaries, and they're a little disappointing in many respects, and one of them being the fact that the voter turnout. But before we get into that,
out of 2,117,000, we only had 800,000 vote.
Yes,
that's sad, really sad. Actually, it was less than 800,000. It was just not even 750,000. 34%. That's
a bother.
That's what?
Well, okay. When you think about it. Well, all right, this year on the primary, because, we've had Joe Ray Perkins on the program quite a few times, and so a little bit more involved or a little bit more knowledge about what goes on behind the scenes, per se. And just to use Joe Ray for an example, she's not a wealthy person, and she's working her butt off. And you look at how many people actually come out and vote for all that effort. I mean, unless you're wealthy or have some really wealthy connections, where you can practically buy it. I mean, let's put it this way. The election results were totally predictable. Well, okay, on the Republican side, for example, Monica Welby in Oregon, she already raised more than $1 million. She's had big corporations or big money people. She even has a boyfriend that has lots of money. So she's got money she can put into the campaign. Jason Conger, who's a lawyer.
But now, wait a minute. Don't you have to declare if you're putting your own money in?
Yeah, you have to declare it. But the point is that, you have the resources to advertise, promote yourself. Or somebody like Joel Ray, all they can do is go to these little town hall meetings, which you're getting exposure to 10 to 200 people at a time. So you're not really covering the audiences to really get it out there. And looking at the numbers, like, for example, on the Republican side, I don't have the Democrat side right in front of me yet, Monica Welby had 88,000 or 52%, where Jason Conger had 58,000, 34% of the vote. And the rest of them, you're looking at Mark Callahan at 11,000, Joe Ray for 4,800, and then Timothy I. Crowley, 4,300. So the people with the money are the ones that kind of have the advantage, and then looking at the competition on the other side, which they're going up against Jeff Merkley, he has almost double the amount of what Monica had, But again, he's the incumbent, so he's already got name recognition right there. So you go to the ballot and go, I don't know any of these people. What sounds familiar?
That's, yeah, I don't know. See, I don't, Jeff Merkley is about the only one that I can say I've heard of before. And, of course, Tillery Perkins, because we know her personally. But that's the only two that I really know as far as any of these people is concerned.
Yeah, Merkley came in at 271,000 and change. So 91% of the Democratic vote were the others. The second runner was William Burke, B-R-Y-K, at 11,167. So while Jeff Merkley got 91% of the vote, the next one down got 3%. There's a lot more write-ins on the Democratic side, 4,411 write-ins versus 1,000 write-ins on the Republican side.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Supposedly, this is a Democratic state. I don't know that.
Well, and that's the thing that's one of the things that frost my cookies, and I love frosted cookies, is talking to the people at work, the ones that are actually in the politics at all, which is really hard to find anymore.
Yeah.
One guy at work, Obama's the greatest thing that, ever happened, but. And those damn Republicans, they always do this, they always do that. It's like, you don't read the news, do you?
Well, everybody has their own opinion, and that's fine. I'm all for that as far as opinion is concerned. But you look at the numbers to find out the reality of what's going on.
Right. Well, and do it from more than one source. I mean, I try to, when we do a news thing, or when I blog or whatever, I try to do it from multiple sources to verify it. And there's a lot of times there's been, like, for example, I can't remember, Obama was over in Russia, and this came from the New York Times, one of their blogs, saying that Obama and Putin got into an argument where Obama was totally rude to Putin, and I'm going, okay, this doesn't sound right. So I went ahead and checked out the sources, and all it was a satire. But because it came from the New York Times, there's other smaller agencies that were picking it up as, gospel news.
That's the case. I mean, the New York Times should know better.
Yeah.
At least if they're going to put out something that's a satire or something like that, label it very prominently what you're doing. I mean, it's really kind of sad that the smaller publications just look at it and take it as gospel just because it's from them.
Yeah. Well, especially something like that. And one of the first clues in my research is that it was not picked up by any of the majors. Like, okay, if this actually happened, this would be headline news all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the case, yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't. And... looking at numbers, trying to see what Lane County did here, where we're going to go, because I was very disappointed at the last general election that we had and the presidential election. I thought for sure we were going to do something different, and we didn't. We're totally predictable.
Well, the thing is, we're going to be totally predictable here, too, as far as what we're going to do. But things are going to be a little bit different, I think, when it comes around to the actual general election. This is a primary, and this is a primary, how do I want to say, this is about as worthless a primary as there ever was.
Yeah.
And this says virtually nothing. I mean, even the numbers of people that are voting, I'm hoping, are not indicative of what's going to happen in the actual election itself in November. I'm hoping we get more people out than, and I think we will. Once we got it down a little ways and get the advertising down, and we don't have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people putting signs out on your yard for the Republican side and 4 people for the Democratic side, we're going to get it down to a couple people on each side, and then we'll have a little more idea of what's going on.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, really.
And 646-721-9887, we have coming up, we have a What the Heck Are They Thinking segment, so stay tuned for that, as it will be quite interesting.
So this, I find the numbers kind of sad in this election thing. But again, as I say, this is about as non-counting as there ever was one. I mean, only got 39% of the Democratic vote and 43% of the Republican vote. That tells you something. 43% of the Republican vote tells you that the Republicans are paying a little bit more attention than the Democrats this time. And I think because, especially if somebody's elected that you know, I don't know, people don't like, it'll get a little heated. I hope it's more heated by the time things actually happen.
Well, things are actually starting to heat up a little bit as accusations are already starting to fly against Republican frontrunner Monica Libby. And the only thing they found about her so far is a incident in 2007, a call to police by her then husband, which she says she can't remember the details on about regarding stalking. She says she acknowledged that a pending divorce had both of them on edge and tensions rising from custody issues that sparked a heated disagreement. Another incident involved former boyfriend and Stimson Lumber CEO Andrew Miller, a major financial backer on Libby's behalf, in response to the question from Lars Larson and stuff. So this is about the mudsling, the worst mudsling they can come up with, like, okay, big deal.
Yeah, really. Yeah, if they can't get any better than that. And who was this stalking with? This was filed by her husband. Was it against him or was it against her?
I think it was from her husband. I'm not sure. I just can't.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's no big thing because we're not going to have to worry about her, I don't think.
No. The looking at the number is a 2-1 lead for Jeff Merkley, and she's Republican, and these people here are just going to blindly vote Democrat again. It's a given, pretty much. If it doesn't, I mean, if we go the other way on some of this stuff, I'd probably have a heart attack on air.
But don't do that because it's possible, because this is the Republicans' turn. You know, we've got Democrats in there and they've been screwing up royally, and I think it's going to really stir a bit of a Republican landslide. Not landslide, but at least make them think twice and vote once, hopefully once.
Yeah, well, you never know. I mean, people are, they don't care. They think their vote doesn't count anymore. And in a way, well, I like to say it does, but, you know, I can understand the disappointment, too.
Yeah.
Especially with the not requiring, does Oregon require photo ID? I don't know if they do.
Well, I have no idea. I've never actually gone to any place to vote. It's always sent to me, and I send it in. So, and of course, if they send it to me, it's not going to require any ID.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's, you know, there's, like they say on, like Mark Levin show, whatever he points out, you know, they're saying it's racist to require ID, but on the other side of the coin, it requires ID to go on a plane, on a train, on a bus. You know?
Well, that's the idea that it's racist to require an ID. That's just somebody stirring up the heat. They want something. Well, I'm not going to say that because then I'm going to be racist. But anyway,
they want undocumented to go hopefully vote for our party.
Well, it doesn't make any difference if you're documented or undocumented. You're living in the United States of America, and you're here. I mean, you're a person, and you're here. You know, I suppose it would be good to not let everybody over here from, you know, everybody that's here from England vote, but people from England who are here at the moment during their voting period probably don't want to vote, not for us.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
And even you know, how many people could that be? So it's not going to sway the vote at all, as far as I'm concerned. We'll let anybody who's here vote, as far as I'm concerned. You know, and if England wants to send thousands of people over here just to sway our voting, more power to them. They're going to, you know, if they send them over here, they're going to spend money here. They're going to do, you know, they're going to, it's going to only be good for us.
Well, and, you know, if we were, well, of course, we had a bunch of people from England we went up against, but at least if they came over now, I think I could speak the language.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, though.
Well, what do you think, mate? Do you think we could kind of, oh, that's Australian.
Well, the thing is, I was just watching a thing the other night on television where two people were talking together, and one of them was speaking English, and another one was speaking American, and they did have trouble getting together.
Yes.
There is enough difference in the two languages, you know, like the bottom of your car.
Right.
We, you know, generally the United States people don't know what that means. And so
the bonnet of your car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
I think the bonnet is the hood.
Yeah. Or the trunk.
Or the trunk.
Mm-hmm. But either way, a lot of people wouldn't know.
And when they say, pass me the torch, don't pass them the torch. Give them a flashlight.
Yeah, really. I mean, there are just enough differences that it makes it difficult to understand the other person. So it's no big thing.
Speaking of difficult, 646-721-9887 coming up. We have the What the Heck Are You Thinking segment. And I want to bring up, speaking of elections, well, before we get off that subject, there's a name that we've been teasing about, unless you got more about Oregon election.
Nope.
Okay. Representative John Conyers is back in the news again. And for those that know him, and I don't have the audio cued, he's the one that, why read the bill? It takes 2 days and two lawyers just to read the bill. And anyways, a federal judge ordered on Friday that Representative John Conyers be put back on the ballot after election officials had struck him from it. In a saga that jeopardized the politicians or the political future of the Democrat, there's again Democrat, and this brings up another point I want to get to in a minute, who has served nearly 50 years, that's 50 years in Congress, term limits. The U.S. District Court Judge Matthew Litman issued an injunction ordering that Conyers back on the ballot just hours after the state election officials upheld an earlier ruling that kept him off for failing to secure enough valid petition signatures. At issue was the question of whether a law requiring signature gatherers to be registered voters is constitutional.
Interestingly enough, I just brought up Converse and got tennis shoes.
Well, it's C-O-N-Y-E-R-S.
Okay.
Yes. But no, that brings up several issues. I mean, for one, one that I hope people will remember is, like, say, why read the bill? Thank you for helping us get Obamacare. And secondly, did you ever do anything else besides being in Congress? I mean, how old is this guy?
Well, it's a good question.
He was first elected in Congress in 1964.
John, that's a long time ago.
It is. It's about 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's, anyways.
Well, move
aside. Let somebody else do it. He's 85 years old. He was born in 1929. So.
And he's been doing this for 60 years?
50 years.
50 years?
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, we should have limits on things like this. I can't see having limits on almost every other kind of elected position, and yet here we are in something that is directly affecting our state and other states, and we don't put limits on it. And there's no possible reason for one person to get in there, and I understand that he's being elected in there, elected to the position, but it's been my experience so far. In fact, just today, looking at some of the elected positions, where only one person even runs.
Yeah.
And so consequently, you're going to elect him, like it or not. And I think that's wrong. There should be a position where somebody else gets the position or the option to try to be elected. And, you know, I'm wondering, how much does it cost? We should find out from Jo Ray when she gets through with this whole thing, approximately how much she thinks it cost her to run for this position. And she got to remember that she ran unsuccessfully, so it cost less than if you had run successfully, I believe.
Exactly. So, and speaking of history and stuff, according to Wikipedia, John Conover's grew up in Detroit, receiving his BA and his law degree from Wayne State University. In 1963, he was involved in the Civil Rights Movement voter registration drive. As Freedom Day, he served as an assistant to U.S. Congressman John Dingell, D-I-N-G-E-L-L, Jr., prior to his election to Congress. And he's been there ever since.
I just don't think we should allow that to happen, not that long. I mean, you know, okay, if you don't want to have it 2 years or 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, but that's, I think, should be the limit. I mean, 10 years, and then you need to go back home and learn what you're doing and become a human being again. And then if you want to come back and try again, that's fine.
Right.
But don't stay in that position. I can understand people saying, well, yeah, but after 10 years, he's only learning what to do and who to do it to. But that's wrong, I think. If he hasn't learned it in the first year, then he's in trouble. And this guy, you know, they know where the bodies are buried, and they can cheat and try to do things that aren't, I think, legitimate. And they do. And we need to get somebody in there who's basically legit all the way. And if not, get him out of there.
Well, it's supposed to be a representative form of government. And how can somebody be representative if they're outside of the mainstream, so to speak? In other words, mainstream being like you and I are in the mainstream of life, or some of these guys have probably never have visited a McDonald's.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, as an example, if I'm a millionaire, and I've been a millionaire for, I don't know, even 10 years, I may very easily forget what it's like to, okay, I need tires for the car. I need to save up for a couple months to go buy tires, where all I have to do is tell somebody to go get tires for me. And so it makes it harder to relate because, you understand where I'm going with that, I hope?
Yeah, I mean, because you don't know where to, you know, that's, and I believe a lot of our employees, our government employees, wouldn't know. I mean, I was surprised, for example, when I saw on television that our president actually went to the store and bought something and paid for it and all that sort of thing, because you just don't see that happening, because I don't believe most presidents do. They don't take the time to do it. They have somebody to do it.
Right.
And if you have somebody to do it, you don't know how.
I wonder if he wrote a check and had a show ID.
If he didn't, I would be very upset. I mean, I don't care if he is a president. You need to show an ID. That's just all there is to it.
I'd like to answer that question for you, but I don't have a teleprompter. So I don't. I think you're racist. I think it's racist requiring me to show an ID to cash a check.
Well,
so there.
I no comment. I think it's racist. I think we're very racist to have a president that's a different race, like it or not. And we are quite possibly, well,
yes.
Unfortunately, we are racist in the whole thing, and there's nothing can be done about it. I mean, we just aren't at that point yet that we can not be. I mean, I think the time will come, perhaps, when we won't be a problem with race, but it's not here by a long ways. And we've probably got 50, 60, 70 years before we're anywhere close to that. And unfortunately, I think it's very unfortunate that we do have that long to go, but it is unfortunate that we do. And that's just all there is to it.
Well, okay. I'll agree and I'll disagree, which sounds like a stupid statement, is the fact that if you're going – it's like a cuss word. If you don't make a big deal out of the cuss word loses its strength.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so – and during this presidency, if you disagree with the president, which people do, you know, we are kind of a representative republic. You know, we are allowed to disagree with our leader. It's not racist. It's like calling somebody an ass and going, "Well, you're racist." No, he's really an ass.
Really, and I it's true. I mean, we're allowed to call them something. We're allowed to say something about them, but are we allowed to do anything about it?
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, we are allowed to, under our system, for example, impeach the president, for example. But unfortunately, it takes an act of Congress to do it, and that leads up to a side story, which I'm going to have to pull up now since we talked about it. Yeah, Congress is too busy doing other things than worrying about our country. So as I'm looking that up, you can talk.
Well, I don't. I wouldn't know what to say. But it's Congress doing other things other than looking out for our country. What are they doing? I mean, that's their job. It's
Thanks to the fad known as the internet. Thank you, Al Gore. 50. Let me bring up the article. I can make sure which side this is on. Okay, you heard of where the congressional hearings because some athlete or whatever is using steroids, and again, why does that go up to the congressional level? I do not know. Come on, computer. I just praised you. Big mistake. Congress is now focusing on, as I'm waiting for all the ads to quit popping up, at least 50 members of Congress, including, of course, not surprisingly, Harry Reid from Nevada. The screen just went blank for a second. So
I find it quite interesting that certain people get placed on a position of importance, like you said, just including Reid from the thing is, why is he special? Why is he?
First of all, he's the minority leader of the Democratic Committee. So, but he's also an idiot, and there's just other reasons. But anyways, most of these people are Democrats. 50 of them. What they are wanting to do is, they think that they're calling on the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, to officially call on the Washington franchise to change its name from the Redskins to, of course, a request that was quickly shot down by the league saying, "We're not changing the name. Sorry. If you don't like the name of our football game, go watch something else." The Sanders said the team is offensive to Native Americans and it served as a racial slur. There's that term again. The NFL can no longer ignore this and pertitude to the use of this name as anything but what it is, a racial slur, the letter read.
Well, all the schools in the country are doing it.
Yeah, well, they're
changing
their pressure. But, again, why is this something that Congress should even be worried about?
Well, in a way, I think they should be. In a way, I don't think it counts because I don't believe in it. But the thing is, if you do believe what they're talking about, they should be interested in it because that's the kind of thing that they look for. And that's
I can see in a way like, you know, Chicago Blackskins. Yeah, that would be kind of insulting.
Why?
Well,
why would that be any more insulting than the Redskins?
Well, that's what I mean. It would kind of, if you look at it that way, you know, or Baltimore Whiteskins. I don't know. Baltimore no-skins. I mean, if you look at it that way, I suppose in that context, yeah, it could be kind of insulting or whatever, or I don't know. I mean, I look at it I'm quarter Cherokee, and if you mention sun, I turn red, literally. That's just part of my heritage. But I've never thought of it as an insult. You know, it'd be called a redskin, but I guess in some respects, thinking about the way it's put, I suppose you could be insulted by that term.
Absolutely. Absolutely you could. Just as you mentioned all the others, the white skins and the black skins and so on and so forth, there should be no reference to that. You know, you can change the name to something entirely different.
But again, why is Congress dealing with this? Don't they have a whole bunch of other things that they should be worried about right now than the name of a football team?
Not really.
I mean, like the Oregon Ducks. You know, if you think about it, ducks could be insulting in some way.
I haven't yet to see an insulted duck. I don't know what he looks like.
Well, that's because you don't speak the language.
That's true.
I don't know if he's insulted or not.
That's true. Well, he might have grimace on his
face. Part of their logo is, you know, duck, you know, duck feathers and wings and whatever. I mean, you know, that could be insulting to the species.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to go that way, you're not going to be able to name anybody anything.
That's true. I mean, how would you name that politically correct? The Oregon people that play football.
Yeah.
Badly.
I suppose that could be badly. That would be bad news too. That would get them.
Yes.
So.
And of course, you know, being that we're here in Lane County, the Gene area, that is sacrilege that I just did. Like you can hear gas going. She mentioned the ducks. Oh my God! Torches. No, those are flashlights. No, I mean the torches.
I have a problem with. You know, I have a problem with living in a county that's just known totally for one thing, and that's sports, and that's for one specific sports team. And you know, I would rather live in a different county, to be honest with you. I can't afford to move at the moment, but
yeah. Well, I get a little tired of seeing the Oregon O and the little sign they make with their hands, which, in one respect, depending on where you came from, means the Oregon O, or the other place it means vagina. I guess it just depends on your point of view and, like, say, where you came from. If you came from England, it probably means who knows. But
well, the thing is, you know, there are other things that are happening in this county other than sports.
Yes.
And I would prefer being known for that.
I mean, the fact that the University of Oregon's Ducks program has grown physically almost the size of the University of Oregon campus, which has taken over about one-third of Eugene.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there something beyond sports?
Well, you know, again, I can only put out my dismay at the situation. And I think...
What do you expect that whose mascot is Donald Duck?
Well, the thing is, it's not Donald Duck.
Actually, it really is.
No, it isn't, because they've already filed suit and said you can't have Donald Duck. They have had to change it a little.
Not a little bit, but now the University of Oregon owns it in a recent thing after the University of Oregon came out with a video with their mascot, which got Disney's attention, and Disney just finally said, you know, we'll sell it to you under these conditions. So, but it was actually based so close on Donald Duck that... you know, Disney was involved. But that's neither here nor there.
Well, I think it's definitely there. You know, to get Walt Disney's organization. Of course, you know, it's different now that Walt Disney isn't involved in it.
Yes.
So who knows what he would make them do.
Yeah, or even how it, well, there's a whole history of it. But 646-721-9887, that's the history I'd rather speak about right now. And as again, I invite users or our listeners, if you've never called a talk show, this is a great forum to do it because even Cliff can do it.
I can.
You I tried to one time, and I had to call you on the second line. Go, what was that number again?
That's right. 646-721-9887-987-9887. That's not hard to remember. It's just
right.
Easy. The 646 part, that could be hard.
Yeah, that's
721, I don't know about that. That might be difficult to remember. But 9887, how difficult is that? There's only three words.
You know, and we could do this just like those annoying ads, you know. Call us now, 646-721-9887.
646-721-9887. Yeah, I know. We could go on and on and on with that. All we'd do is make people mad. That's like the people on television do.
Yeah, that's right.
I get very upset sometimes. If they have to do it over two times, I get a little upset. If they did over three times, then I'm ticked.
Yeah.
It's not necessary.
And if you do it slower, where I could write it down as you're saying it, you wouldn't have to repeat it five times.
That's true.
So, okay, ready, people? You got your pencils and paper ready?
646-721-9887. And that's the last time we have to do it.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, we won't get into the email. What do you say that we do a what the heck segment?
What the heck? Go ahead.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
And let's want to do the award, Cliff.
Well, I guess this time we're going to talk about a third-grade teacher at Mill Plain Elementary School that was kicked out of class. Two complaints about the teacher's policy. The teacher's policy the teacher said, okay, we're going to give you a chance in class to work and do things and make money. It's not real money, of course. It's just fake money. But they could make money, and they could buy things with their money. But then she went just a little too far with the whole idea, because she said, okay, you can make your money, but you have to pay to go to the bathroom. To go to the bathroom?
What?
Granted, it's fake money, but you have to find some way in class to pay. Now, that's not going to go. I mean, you know, to say, okay, I want to buy something, that's fine. And to say I want to buy a turtle, that's okay, because if you don't buy the turtle, nothing is going to happen except you won't have the turtle. If you have to pay to go to the bathroom and you don't get the money to pay to go to the bathroom, there are going to be consequences. And if there are consequences, then you're in trouble. Now, this actually happened. A couple of students actually was kept there so far that they wet themselves in class.
Oh,
well, now that's really upsetting. First of all, it's embarrassing and it's bad for the students, because that's not something that they should have to be put through. These are 9-year-olds, by the way, we're talking about. And this lady complained that her 9-year-old daughter had an accident in class as a result of having the pay-to-potty policy. And that's ridiculous. Now, paying for things and getting the idea of what money is worth is fine, but nowhere do I know in society do you have to pay to potty. That's just not done. I mean, I know there are some places in the world where they have bathrooms on the sidewalk, and you have to pay to get into those or something. But there are also, you know, there are free ones somewhere that you can go into, because you can. But I mean, you can't make a 9-year-old pay to potty. That's just ridiculous. It really is. And when you come to the bathroom, it's a health issue, as a matter of fact. It's not just a regular thing that's going on. And it just can't be allowed to continue. Third graders, elementary, required $50 of Monopoly money was to buy toys, popcorn, pizza, or use it to go to the bathroom. Now, that's ridiculous. That, no kid is going, first of all, if you earned yourself $50 somewhere in school to buy popcorn or pizza or whatever, you're going to buy popcorn or pizza. You're not going to use it to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And so, consequently, you're not going to have money left over to do exactly that. And that's insane. It's just not something that anywhere in life are you going to have to pay to go to the bathroom that I know of.
Did students learn how to take out a loan from the teacher so that they could use
it
for purposes?
No. The only thing I can think of, there are some restrooms that do have some pay to pee places or whatever, but they always have, and it's a law that they have, two or three of them that are free.
Right.
The rest of them can be pay or whatever. Usually two or three of them are free. And you can wait and go into those. Sometimes I've been into public restrooms where you wait for quite a while and you don't think you're going to make it, but you usually do. But that's the only time I've ever heard of anybody having to pay to go to the bathroom. And if you don't have the money, you still can go to the bathroom, for that matter. So, I think personally, I would give my child, if they went to that school and had that teacher, I would give them my permission to just get up and walk out, just get up and go. I mean, there's no way. And if they did that and got in trouble, I would be all over that school. I would be all over the principal, the superintendent, everybody that's possible. I would have them on the. I'd be suing the butt off. Just simple as that, because that's ridiculous to make a child so uncomfortable that they actually do wet their pants because they can't pay to go. And I would give my permission and let them know that it's my permission to just go to the bathroom. Simple as that.
Well, they say that the school's principal wouldn't speak to reporters, but KIRO Channel 7 was able to get a hold of the school district, and spokeswoman Gail Spolar, S-P-O-L-A-R, said students have designated breaks during the day, and it's up to each teacher to monitor students' breaks during class. It's all part of how they manage the classroom, and so that was the process that was decided on, KYM reported.
Well, the simple fact is I have been in the position where I had my break at a specific time and I could have gone in and got to the bathroom. I didn't need to. I didn't have to. I didn't want to. But by the time I got into class and by the time I was before my next break was available to me, I had to. Very simple as that. And in fact, I even have here at home, I can tell you, just ridiculously enough, I'll be sitting and watching television and I try not to get up and leave during the program. I'll wait until it's time for a commercial. And yet there are times when I sit there and I need to get up and go before the commercial.
Right.
Well, now that's ridiculous. You say, well, God, you can at least wait 20 minutes. Sometimes, no, you can't. No, you can't. It's simple as that. And it depends on who you are. And so consequently, that to say that it's and this is actually this was a substitute teacher, isn't it, that was doing this in the first place. I mean, it's just ridiculous to think that they would say no. I couldn't, to be honest with you, even if the kid had bun up in the last 20 minutes and gone and asked to go again, I would figure she has to go. Now, I might send somebody with her to see that she actually did and didn't go somewhere else, because there is a possibility. At 9 years old, they don't usually try to get out of class that way. Give them a couple more years and they'd be sneaking out of class that way. But at this particular point, I think that if they have to get out of the classroom to go to the bathroom, that's where they'd go, and then they would come back. I can't see them lying about it and going somewhere else instead myself at that age. So I don't know. It just seems to me like it's ridiculous for the teacher and the principal, for that matter. Principal is going to be doing an investigation to the whole thing, and she's going to talk to everybody involved, and including the children and the teacher. But we're never going to prevent an emergency situation which a bathroom call is, from happening. I mean, children, they don't, the kids themselves, they don't want to have that kind of an accident. I mean, that's embarrassing to begin with, regardless of what age you are. It's just not a possible neat thing to be. So if they have to go, they have to go.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion of the thing. You can't change that at all.
Well, and especially to the point that, you know, kids are, well, besides the embarrassment, is that they can also lead to health issues and all other fun stuff. It's just totally stupid. And, I mean, I can understand in some respects the teacher saying, okay, I want to teach you the value of money,
but that's not the value of money. Money doesn't buy that. Money buys the toys. Money buys the food. Money buys popcorn. Money buys things that never does it buy the ability to go to the bathroom. Now,
County, it does.
What?
In Lane County, it does. We actually have a thing called a personal property tax where you have to claim your toilet paper once a year. So how much toilet paper you have, you have to give it a value and actually claim it and pay tax on it. And I'm not making that up.
What?
Yeah, I found that out the hard way on the first year after I owned my business, and I got this. I did not even know we had a personal property tax here in Oregon, much less Lane County. And when I got that notice, and I'm looking over, okay, well, what do I have to do? Okay, I got the value of my sign. Ridiculous, that sign's been there forever. I got to pay that. Okay, my inventory, got to pay that. And bathroom supplies. What do you mean bathroom supplies? Ring. Yes, toilet paper and everything. You're kidding. Nope. You have to put a value on toilet paper. And my response to them was...
No, you have to put a value on how many you bought all year or what you have on hand.
We do the inventory. It's like, okay, well, I got about 5 rolls, and the value is, who has to use the bathroom? Okay, I can charge you $10 a roll. Because it depends on the need at the time and how much you value toilet paper.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Absolutely.
It's ridiculous. Or, you know, your taxation without representation type of thing. Well, okay, well, what am I representing here? Fill in the blank. Maybe I should have mailed them some samples. I don't know. But and they didn't specify whether or not there's a difference between single and two-ply.
I wonder about that, because what if you happen to have a chance to buy a huge amount of toilet paper at the beginning of the year and have a whole year or two's worth in stock? You have to pay for that every year? I mean, that's ridiculous.
It's just at the time. You know, we had, like, for example, because I had a video store, so we had, like, you know, 5,000-plus videos. I had to pay a tax. I think it was a 50-cent tax per video on the thing. And then, like I said, literally the clock on the wall we had to pay a tax on. The open sign, the everything we had to list.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. It's like, you know, and again, and what's even worse is that this happens at the middle of the year, March, April, or May, somewhere around this time, instead of around normal tax time. I never heard of it. And then,
that's going to leave you in a hell of a position if you have a big a storage room in the back and it's full of junk.
Oh, tell me about it. And especially since I just took over ownership of the business, there was a huge... That cost me $5,000 in taxes that I was not prepared for.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's ridiculous. Plus, I also found out, too, that although I never rode the bus, I have paid for the bus many times through employment taxes.
Hmm. Well, there's some of that. I understand somewhat about that because, you know, buses, for example... We have the counties seem to have this thing that they seem to feel they should supply bus service, but they can't make it pay.
Yeah.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, if you can't make it pay, you don't supply it.
Exactly, because like the buses here, they're in most, and I guess most communities, they're rider supported, they're taxpayer supported, they're advertising supported, they're state and federal supported. Show me any other agency that gets in revenue from all those sources.
None that I can think of.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just ridiculous, the situation. If they're going to be supported by all of that, then they shouldn't charge an admission fee.
Well, at least if you own a business, and anybody that pays into the taxes for the bus service should at least get a token to be able to ride it for free.
Well,
you've already paid it.
Yeah. I'm from a county in the state of Washington where the buses are absolutely free. The buses are paid for other ways, and the actual ridership is free. It doesn't cost you anything at all. That's really good, because for kids, they have no way to get around.
Right.
You know, a lot of times a youngster, I mean, anybody under 16, just has no way to get around. And sometimes just the cost of a bus token can be expensive to them. And
well,
so,
like Portland used to be free. They recently changed that, I believe, because like in the city of Portland is a bear to drive around in, much less find a place to land. But that's one of the places where the buses orbiting the block actually made sense. You know, you hop on, you do the little commuter, the little MAX train or whatever they have up there. And, you know, it makes it really easy to get around in a tight city, large city like Portland. Now, some place like Eugene, we're too small for a service like that.
No, I disagree.
But anyways, I don't want to spend too much time on buses because I could. Anyways, but I would like to spend some time on the phones, 646-721-9887, and get your opinion on everything that we're talking about and everything we're not talking about that we should be talking about.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
What I said.
At least.
646-721-9887. Give us a call now. That's an order.
You know, one thing I want to bring up here, because every time I turn around, I'm hearing about people being killed by bullets, people being shot, and mentally disturbed gunmen possibly bent on retribution sprayed bullets from a slow-moving car in Southern California to College Town, killing six people in a rampage called premeditated mass murder. Santa Barbara County Sheriff's told us this today, as a matter of fact. And we have a lot of times, I'm hearing more and more often of people being shot, people being killed by a gun. A gunman, and as often as not, it may not be even their gun, or it's a gun that they found somewhere or borrowed from someone or whatever, but it's too many people are being shot and wounded and or murdered, for that matter, by guns. And we have it happening all the time. And we need to do something about it. I mean, there's no system to it that can be an adult shooting that kills people, you know, an adult. It can be kids. It'll be students, teachers. It doesn't make any difference. But they're getting away with it. And a lot of times, even sadder, they're not getting away with it. But so many people are using a gun to shoot someone, using a gun to kill someone, and then turning the same gun on themselves. Now, this doesn't make any sense to me. And why is it happening so often now? I mean, it's not just once in a while. Every time we turn around, we're hearing about that. Just constantly about, and it's not just guys, but women, anybody who gets upset and decides they're going to shoot somebody. And just as often as not, they turn around and shoot themselves. I mean, what is happening in our society? What's going on in our society that means that makes people think that they need to shoot someone, and they have so little value on their life or anybody else's life that when they get through shooting someone else, they'll shoot themselves? That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean,
I blame it on daytime television.
Okay. That's interesting. Do you have any logic for that?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so. I mean, I suppose it could be you know, I don't know how to go for it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any difference what kind of car they're driving or not driving a car, and whether you're aiming, if you're standing on the street sidewalk or whatever, and aiming at cars, or whether you're sitting in the car and aiming at everybody on the sidewalk, people are both doing it both ways. And it's just, it seems to me like we've got a lot more violence in our world and in our society now than we have had for a long time. It's getting worse, not better. And for a long time, I thought it was getting better. We're having less violence on the streets and less violence. And it's possible, I suppose, that it's just in this case because we're actually we're reporting it. We're talking about it. But it's just really a crazy thing that it's so much of it's going on. It sounds like there's more violence going on now than there has been for a long time, but I don't know for sure that there is.
Some people claim that video games or whatever, because they're realistic and you can go through, go bang, bang, and they disappear and nothing happens and, you know, hit the reset button, start over. But again, you would think that, and I call it dumbing down of America, you know, we're not teaching common sense, in my opinion. You know, I mean, people walk, even adults are walking across the street without looking to see if cars are coming first. They get hit. And they complain that, the car hit me. Well, duh, you know, is it number one, is it cleared across the road?
That's true. You know, the thing is, that doesn't explain shooting people and then shooting yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something about that's what really gets to me. I mean, it's not just once in a while. It's a lot of times. I mean, it doesn't make any difference who you're shooting or killing or whatever, but then you kill yourself. That, you'd think, myself, I would think that it hurt. I mean, I don't like pain, and I'm not ready to jump around and jump in front of my own gun and just to experience it. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, but you know, here's the thing, though. That's not important now. Kim Kardashian got married. Yeah, this is what makes the headlines and what makes importance. You know, you talk about what you're talking about, which is really important, and we should look at why this happens. But the attention span of the I don't know if it's America or if it's the way that people are perceived by the media. You know, we just started World War III, and that's a little sidebar. But instead, you know, Kim Kardashian got married. Become major headlines.
Yeah. I have no answer to that because I think it's absurd. I think it's insane. And I don't pay attention to when I hear Kim Kardashian got anything. I don't care, and I don't listen to it.
No, I don't either, especially in the tabloid that says, so-and-so millionaire is having financial problems. Well, I'm sorry, but if you're a millionaire, my sympathy for your financial problems goes right out the window.
Yeah. And well, boy, it's just really sad that people are killing them, other people and themselves in such large groups as they are now. I mean, I've been through it once. I worked in a mall where I heard some pops going on, and it sounded to me like firecrackers, which could possibly be happening because in the halls of a big mall, the firecrackers could sound pretty loud. But then people started scurrying into my store and hiding under counters and things. I figured it's probably more than a firecracker out there.
Yeah, or the sale that you're having at the moment.
Right. I would wish, but yeah. That wasn't the case. It was someone shooting people and they were in the arrest.
Well, here's the thing, you know, that, like I just read. Unfortunately, I don't have it on my screen, but I just read an article where a business, I think it's a restaurant, put up a sign saying no guns allowed, and it was shortly after that they had a shooting in the store. And which, you know, heck with the guy, the gunman, you know, bringing the gun in, you know, he should have read the sign. The point
perhaps he did, that's why he brought the gun in.
It could be, you know. But the whole point is that looking at one or two people and just saying, we're just going to ban guns altogether. Somebody put this on Facebook, I think it was, and it was a really good comment, is that, you know, I heard guns kill people. gun skill. So what he did is that he went ahead and put his gun out on the front porch with bullets next to it. And he sat there, and I watched it all day long, and we had the mailman come up. We had people walking up and down the street. And not once did my gun ever make any attempt to shoot anybody.
Yeah, that's true, but it's a fun type thing, and it's a cute statement, but guns do kill people.
Actually, the bullets. Well, I should throw the gun at them. But
they're in someone's hands.
Right.
You know, we think is we know that, and we know that they're very dangerous and dangerous to have around. I mean, because they can kill people accidentally, not always on purpose, you know. Kids can be playing with them, little kids, big kids.
Okay, let me throw this at you. Back when you were a kid, you know, before they invented cars.
I'm not going to say anything.
Anyways, no, even further than that, back, you know, literally before cars and stuff, back in the wilderness, you know, kids were taught at a very young age not only how to use weapons, but to use weapons, and they actually went out hunting and whatever. So they were taught the dangers, safety, and everything to use that weapon. What happens today is if there's a weapon in the house, I'm assuming that chances are it's just locked up, and all the kid knows is that, oh, we got a gun. I've seen it on TV. You know, bang, bang, cowboys and Native Americans type of a thing. And they're not really taught the dangers or even how to handle the gun because you're too young.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. You're saying that years ago it was a standard thing for everybody to have a gun. Everybody knew how to use a gun. Even the kids that you're talking about, a lot of them owned their own guns and did their own thing. But in this day and age, where are you going to teach them how to shoot? Where are you going to go to teach them how to shoot? It's going to cost you money to do that. You can't just go out on the back fence and shoot bottles off the fence. I mean, you get in big trouble for doing that. Even if it's a BB gun or a pellet gun or something like that, you get in big trouble because the bullets can go far enough that they can hit anybody.
Right.
We've got people stacked up on themselves, sort of. I mean, we've got people stacked up everywhere. You can't aim anywhere in our society almost without hitting them. So I'm sure there are some people who live on the...
Right. I mean, you can go down to firing range or whatever, but the whole point is, like, I remember when I was a kid, because my father was in the military, and he worked in law enforcement in the state of Oregon. And I remember a long, long time ago, you know, I never liked guns, never had much to do with them, but, you know, one of the things that he told me, because when he showed me his gun and everything, one thing he told me is that, you know, if anything else, always remember that, you know, always treat any gun as if it's loaded, and never, ever point the gun at anybody. Now, just those two things right there, you know. And later in life, when I got more exposed to guns, I still remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm hoping that almost everybody, even with kids, and nowadays, of course, you can't even have a toy gun.
No.
Because people get upset.
You can't even eat a Pop-Tart without getting in trouble.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
Yeah.
But,
you know. I'm kidding about that. But when you think about it, you know, when I was growing up, even though I came from a, disorganized or whatever family, it wasn't the best. But before my parents got into a fight with each other, you know, we came from an era where we would sit down for have dinner. Who sits down as a family and have dinner anymore?
Not very many people. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Or if they do sit down and have dinner, they sit down in front of the television.
Exactly. Like the one person that used to be a friend of mine, I knew her when her child was 5 years old and up to when she's about 12 or something like that. Not once. They didn't even have a kitchen table, for one. They never sat down and ate at the same time. Basically, it was just, you know, go to McDonald's, get chicken nuggets, here's your dinner, kid.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there are those too. I don't have kitchen table here because I use the kitchen as my office, but so we do eat from TV trays in front of the television.
Right.
That's just all there is to it. But at the same token, you know, I don't have any kids to to worry about at this point. We haven't had kids in this house at all. But in other times when I had kids and we didn't eat at the table. But actually, come to think of it, when I think about it, I did. When I had kids at home, we ate at the table. We had dinner at the table. Not always at the same time, but I would let people know. And we'd almost always sit down at the table and sit there together. And because it's the one time we could talk to each other, and we would talk to each other.
Now you text.
Now, well, of course, I don't text that much, as you know.
See, the modern family, if you do sit down at the table, is bling, text. Could you please pass the butter? Ding, send. Yes.
See, I would go start grabbing bananas at that. I wouldn't let that happen. I wouldn't let them have computers at the table.
Yeah. But, you know, kind of along the same line, though, and this is just my theory for what it's worth, besides calling 646-721-9887, so you can chime in on this, is back when you and I grew up, you know, we had a lot more freedoms. We weren't confined as much. I mean, you go to, for example, a couple years ago, I was working for a company. We made deliveries to schools. The school was a damn prison. Yeah, it was all gated in, and this is a small community, too, Bonita. In just about any school nowadays, it's all gated in. You had to have a card to even get in or whatever. And they're monitored closely. And, you know, when I was a kid, I could ride a bike without a helmet, without knee pads, and I had the freedom to roam the neighborhood. Now, if your kid's out of sight for more than a few minutes, the parents get in trouble. You know, I would say now it feels like you're closed in. You don't have room to stretch and grow. And you know, after a while, that would drive anybody nuts. It'd be like your boss looking over your shoulder, you know, 24 hours a day.
Now, see, I never had that problem. I even lived in California for a while and went to high school in California. Whether I went to high school here or actually Washington State or California, we never had fences around our schools. We never had anything like that. Schools, even open campus. We had an open campus almost all the time. Now, there was one, the last year I went to high school in California, the campus was closed, supposedly. It wasn't, you could still get off of it if you wanted to, but you were supposedly not supposed to. They had a big, huge field behind the school. As a matter of fact, we even had a smoking lot behind the school. You could go back there, and it was off the school grounds, but it was on the school grounds in a way. It was off the school grounds technically, but it was a part of our playing field.
Right.
And the only thing that I can think of is you didn't have long to go. It didn't have long to stay there because it was like a 10-minute walk to get there and a 10-minute walk to get back, and you had better get there on time. So it was difficult. But I never had a problem with schools being a prison like that. That you're talking about.
That's what I'm saying. That's when we grew up, you know. Even the school that I grew up with has got a fence around it now.
Yeah. Well, we don't
understand the child safety thing because things are a little bit more crazier. But, again, it's just like studies have been shown, like, you know, putting a bunch of mice into a small confined area that after a while, you know, these timid mice turn violent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what's going on in our society. The more controlled you are, the more people are lashing out.
Well, I live in, this is Cottage Grove that I live in, and we don't have fences around our schools. Schools are open. High school is open. Now, there's a place where there used to be a school. There was a fence around that, but there's no school anymore. They built a new school, and there isn't a fence around that. So, I mean, I know one of the schools that I go by, an elementary school, there is a fence around the playground to keep the kids from getting out on the street or to keep balls and things from getting out on the street. But that's the only – there are no fences around schools here in Cottage Grove. So that's why I'm still confused about that. I don't know. I've never lived anywhere where there were fences around the schools.
So. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just getting totally ridiculous, you know. And some schools, not any around here, but you hear it more in the big cities where the schools, you know, they have to go through metal detectors and, you know, there's cops everywhere and just, you know, it's, I don't know. It's, to me, that would be an uncomfortable thing.
Well, I don't know if I'd rather be uncomfortable a little bit or get shot.
Well, it's just like one company I worked for a long time ago, and it was part of security. You had to go through and be searched as you entered and exited the building. I chose to work there, and so that's, you know, part of the agreement that you do. But, you know, if you're a kid, you don't have a choice. You know, just like now, you we've reported on news stories where you can't even bring a lunch to school without having some official going through it and deciding whether or not your lunch meets their approval, even though it was packed by your parents.
Yeah.
You know, or, again, the Pop-Tart thing, which I wish we were kidding about, or you drew a picture and you get expelled for drawing a picture because somebody may think it's offensive or it's a weapon or something like that. Kid gets expelled for having little toy soldiers on his hat. You know, I mean, that would make anybody crazy. You know, especially if that happened to you, you'd be scared to death to breathe for fear of getting in trouble.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I was hoping that, I know we've mentioned all of these stories at one time or another, and that we've talked about them on the air, but I was just hoping those were special instances. That's what's not the norm that was going on in our society today, because if that's the case and that's the norm. See, I'm very glad now that I don't have kids
right.
at this particular point in my life. I mean, I'm old enough that they're up and gone and having kids of their own. In fact, their kids are having kids. But anyway, I wouldn't put up with it. I wouldn't put up with it. I would be at school all the time, screaming and hollering and yelling and jumping up and down, and I'd pull my kids out. I wouldn't let them stay there because I wouldn't have that's the type of experience. That's a bad experience in life, to be that controlled at that time. I mean, there's no necessity for it. You can teach your kids better than that. You can teach your kids to respect each other better than that. And if you don't teach your kids to respect each other, then the schools are doing the wrong job in the first place, because they should be teaching them that way. But the thing is, as far as I'm concerned, if your kids haven't been taught to respect each other and to respect each other's space, then I would, if I were a teacher and a school system, I'd kick them out, make them stay at home.
Right.
And make the, until the teacher, until the parents had a little talk with them and had at least some sort of experience in telling them what to do. The thing is, I'm wondering if we haven't gone far enough now, long enough now, that even the parents don't know what to do about it. Parents don't know how to control the kids and how to tell the kids what to do and what to tell them to do. In which case, how are we going to straighten this out? I mean, we're going to have to do something to teach the parents that teach the kids. Something has to be done to control all this, and it has to be done fairly soon, because we're going to end up with parents who can't teach their kids, don't know enough to teach their kids, don't know what to teach their kids. And see kids that are saying, well, if this kid does this, the parent says, well, beat the heck out of him. Well, that isn't the answer. In any instance, it's not the answer. You know, there's a lot of ways that the law can work and such things, but none of them involve beating the kid's head off.
Right. I'm not going to say there's any validity to this, what I'm reading here. This is from a website called dignityinschools.org. And where they're talking about school discipline, and they're saying that one of the bullet points here is that fact sheets on school discipline and push-out problems, and one of the bullet points here is too many schools see disciplinary authority to law enforcement are security personnel and overly rely on law enforcement tasks to control school discipline. Like, for example, more and more school districts use police officers or school resource officers not trained for educational environments to patrol school campuses and discipline students. Between 1999 and 2005, the number of students reported the presence of law enforcement officers in their school rose by 14%. School-based arrests have increased dramatically. The major arrests are for minor incidents such as disturbing the peace or disruptive conduct. High school students have been arrested for food fights, writing on a desk, or breaking a pencil. In the most extreme cases, 5-year-olds have been handcuffed and arrested for throwing tantrums.
Boy, what?
They do cite their sources.
Yeah, I know. And in some instances, I agree with them. Throwing a tantrum, a 5-year-old, a 9-year-old, or whatever, put handcuffs on them. I don't, you know, throwing a tantrum is a whole different story, as far as I'm concerned. And you can, and I, as far as I'm concerned, you're allowed to do that. But if you're just disciplining them for some reason that they don't normally get disciplined at home, hey, that's the thing. It's up to the parents to do something with these kids, and the parents aren't doing it. And consequently, can we blame the kids? And I don't think necessarily we can. However, that means that the instructors, the teachers at school, have to take on a different, entirely different role.
Right.
They need to be teaching the kids to behave themselves and act like human beings. And then we've got to come up with a law. I hate to call things a law, but we've got to come up with a law that says that if the teachers at school discipline your children and you disagree with it, tough luck. You should have done it in the first place. And
as I'm going through here, waiting for my high-speed super internet to finish loading the page, so I can actually talk about instead of stalling, and Shockwave is crashing, and things are falling apart. Anyways, oh, please don't load and play the audio. Clarksville student suspended for knife in father's car, for example. The school officials had a high school student in Montgomery County has been suspended after school officials found a knife inside his father's car.
Was his father's car parked at school?
Let's see. On Thursday, a senior at the Northeast High School drove his father's car to school. During a random lockdown, his car was chosen to be searched. What happened to the Fourth Amendment? He gave permission because he said he had nothing to hide. His father is a commercial fisherman on the West Coast and apparently left a knife in the car. His father said it might have been wedged between one of the seats. He told school officials and the sheriff's department the car was his father's, and he didn't know the knife was in it, so he got suspended anyways for 10 days.
Well, again, that's ridiculous. If the father says he left the knife there, and if the kid didn't, I mean, who are you ever going to believe anybody? Or that no matter what, you're going to get put in jail or suspended or whatever the case may be.
Right. Well, as part of the punishment too, is that if the punishment is upheld, he will not be able to walk at his graduation, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the thing. Now, one of the places that I worked, again, that high-security place or, you know, whatever, they said in their rules that they have the right to search vehicles that are on their property. And if you refuse, you can get fired. Okay, well, I'm chose to be there. If I'm on private property, if I refuse to allow you to, you have the right to fire me in Oregon because we're an at-will state. But I wonder if this case in school, we're doing a lockdown. We chose your car for a random search. What is your probable cause to do this search, officer? And do I have the choice of not allowing you to? And what happens if I refuse to allow you to? Are you going to arrest me?
Well, simple fact of the matter, it's on school property.
Then would you be allowed to leave?
No. But you are capable. You're able to be there without the car, and so consequently, if you brought the car there and stopped it there, I mean it's a two-edged sword. It's ridiculous, and the same token, but on the same token, you're erring in the sense of safety. I mean, it's not technically right, I suppose, but it's you're trying to be safe for everybody,
yeah.
and you gotta have some laws and some rules and some absolutes that are in a case like that. Now, I can't imagine that he had to drive the car to school. I mean, that he could have had his father drive him to school. He could have had all kinds of other things. In almost every instance in this day and age, there are buses that run.
But for whatever reason, he chose to drive the car. He didn't know the knife was in there. He wasn't even his knife. His father works as a fisherman. Okay, they deal with knives.
But you don't. You only have his word for that.
Right. I'd get back to the fact of, okay, they're doing a lockdown, and I suppose that's probable cause right there. But why him?
Why him?
Yeah. Why his car? What about his car that was chose in a random quote unquote thing to search his car?
Well, that was, you just answered your own question at random. There was no reason for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there could have been somebody else's car at random.
The Fourth Amendment,
Fourth Amendment doesn't apply. He's at school.
Okay. So you give up your Fourth Amendment rights just for being at school?
Yeah. You have to give up a lot of rights being at school. A school has a tremendous, I don't know what, a tightrope that they have to walk to decide what they want to, what they want to take away from you and what they want to leave for you.
Right.
I wouldn't want to be the one who makes that decision. But I agree with you that this in this particular case, since he didn't know and since it was in the car, I would like to know where they found it in the car, if it was in the open or if it was hidden or if it was down between the seats.
Seats.
It was what?
Between the seats.
Well, then I... I would probably do things a little differently. Especially if it had been happened before, if he was, you don't know the case of the kid that was involved. You don't know what kind of situation he was. You don't know what kind of things he had done before, if he had, and from the sounds of the story and the way it was written. I would say that was wrong, but you just don't know.
Yeah.
Hard to tell. It's really hard to tell because you don't get the whole story in a thing like this when they're talking about doing it in the newspaper or whatever, reading the story. You don't get all of the things that, I mean, maybe you do and you didn't read it, I don't know, but it's just usually not the case. You don't get all of it. The excitement of what it really, really was. What did he do yesterday? Did he bring the same car to school yesterday, and was the knife there then? Or, I mean, I don't know.
I know some of this stuff is just really, really crazy.
It really is. It really is. And then there's this particular story. A teenager admits shooting a cabbie to death. It's a girl that was a 16-year-old girl that shot the cabbie to death. She says, well, because the driver wouldn't follow my directions. And that's what I do to people who don't listen to me. I shoot them and kill them.
She doesn't have that many friends, does she?
Well, you don't know. You don't know. I mean, see, that's the thing. That's the sad part of it. She just stated that as fact. And I hope she hasn't done it before or done anything near that before or anything like that. I hope she hasn't hit anybody or whatever, because that's ridiculous. But again, this is the parents that are not teaching the kid the right things, right, as far as I'm concerned, because there's no way that a parent should be accepting of the child, a 16-year-old child, that had that opinion, that way of doing things. You know, the parents should be put in jail along with her.
Well, here's one that I want to touch on. We have 4 minutes remaining of the program, 646-721-9887. Headlines. Reporter wears grape costume to defend boy suspended for wearing a banana costume.
What?
Covering an odd tale about a 14-year-old artistic boy who was handcuffed by police and suspended
Autistic?
Autistic.
Okay.
For running down the sidelines of a high school ball game at halftime wearing a banana costume. The reporter, Pat Collins, donned a grape suit and went out to get the story. If you ask me, this is a bunch of Fruit of the Loom stuff. Anyways, school officials accused him of being disruptive and disrespectful, and frankly, I don't see what all the fuss is about.
Who did they accuse of being disrespectful?
The kid wearing a banana costume. And then he was asked, the reporter says, why banana, not a grape? The student replied, I don't know, potassium is great.
Well, the thing is, how does that upset the game of having a banana run up and down the field? That doesn't make any sense to me either.
So. No, it gets back to what I was saying as far as people being allowed to have fun and being scared to do anything.
Well, see, that's the thing. This happened back when I was going to school, and you had a banana running up and down the field. And on the side of the field, I would understand it if he was on the field and interrupting the program, the game. But if he was just running up and down the side of the field, yelling and screaming and hollering, what does that hurt? Nothing that I can think of.
No, he was saying, it says here that Brian and his mother met with school superintendent Monday morning, where she says they talked about productive ways for Brian, being autistic, to use his running skills and affinity for cartoon suits. In other words, it's the way for him to express himself, I guess. And it's just nothing but the banana suit they show a picture of. It's just nothing but a headdress with a little bit long, so it actually it's not a full banana suit. It just looks like a long beard. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, to get a suspension for that, you know, like, if you don't like it, I mean, I spent many times in the office growing, you know, in school, but that was it. You know, you go in, you talk to the principal, and you look at the corner for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, no suspension unless I tried to burn the place up, but in which case...
Yeah, see, I disagree. I think that's... Looking at the corner for an hour doesn't accomplish a thing. It doesn't teach you anything. It doesn't do anything. Suspending you might. I would
suspend, you know, my new career of doing mortar.
Yeah. In corners,
yeah.
Really? Oh, geez. I don't know. There's so many crazy things that people do nowadays. And they did them before, too. They did a lot of crazy things.
Yeah.
Before this.
And speaking of crazy, we're going to be back again next Saturday, 4 p.m. And so join the craziness. Remember, 646-721-987. See you next week.
What's the love of crazy kids?
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.